Hey, 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 what's going on? This is Tim Miller.
I'm Andy Klein.
And actually, it's we got a third one. We got a third one. Go for it.
And this is Randolph Terrence.
Randolph, you've changed.
Your voice is a little deeper.
I am now 5 inches shorter and a white man. So, I'm Mike Yeltringham.
Yeah, we killed off the Randolph character. But we've got cousin Mike sitting in.
Cousin Mike, two bald guys and a follicle gentleman, or
half Persian. I got a full head of hair.
Two white guys and a black.
Yeah, Randolph is out in New York getting Ebola as we speak.
We actually traded. Since he went to New York, I had to come here to replace him. So.
Yeah.
So,
is he at in Queens? Is he at in or is
I
he?
I think
in
he's staying with Courtney.
He's in
Queens, then, yeah.
In Astoria. Yeah. So what is the Ebola thing? Is there like fear? Is it a whole bunch of fear?
It's yes. I mean, I think it's getting a little higher now because obviously New York's much higher profile than Dallas or wherever else it was.
Right.
We'll see. I mean, there's plenty of fear-mongering. There's plenty of legitimate concerns, but I guess we'll just see how it plays out.
This is the Ebola theme song, by the way.
Yeah. Or a woman. Although she got released.
She did.
Yeah,
the
she
girl
got
that was here. Yeah. And Bethesda, she got released.
Was that the nurse?
Yeah.
The girl from Texas.
They had a thing yesterday where they showed like Obama giving her a hug. Like he was just to show that I think it was clearly like a PR thing where it's like, she's all right, everybody. If the president can hug her.
The president's good. Yeah. And
she goes to hug him and then a Secret Service dog comes and tackles her like
they spray her down with Lysol.
They immediately wash him off.
Yeah.
Well, now the big thing that is happening is that everyone's criticizing, or not everyone, but people are criticizing the fact that there are doctors coming back from Africa who deal with Ebola patients. Some people want them quarantined immediately.
Yeah, I don't think they should do that.
Yeah, it is a little, that's excessive. I think there should be maybe a screening. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with, but that's just precautionary.
Right.
But the idea that they're quarantined for... I mean, what are we going to do? Shoot him in the head? Like,
they have rules. The doctor in New York who got tested positive, you have to take your temperature like 3-4 times a day or whatever it is. You have to do all these things before you go out.
Right.
And he did all those things, and he was fine, and he went out, and then he went bowling and took a cab or whatever. And then he got a fever. So he was like, okay, well, now I can't go out. But you're not contagious when you don't have symptoms.
I got to tell you, if you have to go anywhere with Ebola, you could do worse than a bowling alley in Williamsburg. Because there's a lot of douchebags around there, and hipsters. And if you got to take some people out,
I had
a good
Ebola
spot.
First, like way back when it wasn't even cool to have Ebola. You
take out some of those 20-year-old boys dressed up like 40-year-old women.
Can I get like an old-timey hazmat suit? Like one from the 20s or something? Like that would be really cool.
Can I get a plaid?
Can I get like a plaid hazmat suit? Nope. Can my mustache stick out of the suit? Because I have like a big mustache.
It? You see it? I'm only 19. I have a full
I'm going to shave the side of my head for no reason.
And
well,
tattoo.
When I was, I mean, the last time I was in New York, which is like a year and a half ago, it was a flu situation and they called it an epidemic. Like, I don't know what qualifies for epidemic status, but they were like, flu epidemic in New York, which was, I mean, I was like, oh shit, I got to take some fucking hand sanitizer with me or whatever.
I think it goes epidemic is like less severe. And then I think pandemic is the bad one.
Yeah.
That's like contagion type.
But Ebola is like one dude. That's like one dude. And Ebola doesn't live, it can't live on the subway pole, right? So even if you get on the subway, I guess if you get on immediately after the guy and he bled on it or something, and you touch it, but people are like, oh shit, what if I get in the same cab that he took a week ago? Like, there's no Ebola in the cab. It's
so
dead.
Don't touch bloody subway poles.
Yeah, right. See,
you shouldn't have to need Ebola to not do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Normally, I'm all about bloody subway poles.
But right now, you got to be careful.
Can I still lick them?
Yeah.
That's what I prefer to do.
I'm usually licking them. So
I like to lick bloody subway poles.
They're delicious.
But I think you find out, too, from Facebook, how many people are hypochondriacs. Because all these people are posting like, oh, shit, it's going down. See, we should quarantine these doctors. Like all these conspiracy people. Like, it's not going to fucking happen to you. Even if there was an epidemic, most likely you're not getting it.
Yeah.
You know, just stay home for a couple days.
Yeah, and it's that fear-mongering shit is trouble. I mean, that
That's what it is.
That has a real world impact, though. People don't realize just that. I think you blame that on the media more than like people on Facebook necessarily.
Fox News.
Yeah, right. Fox News, other people in the media who are like sensationalizing it for, you know, whether it's page clicks or ratings. Yeah. And then you have people, you know, funds get diverted because of that. Like people's, you know, livelihoods get impacted. There's a lot of impact. There's a domino effect to that shit, and I don't like it.
Yeah. You said, yeah, it is definitely page hits. Whatever's a hot story,
right?
They feel like they need to go with it, but at the same time,
hey, remember Bring Back Our Girls? Nobody gives a shit about that. I think they got.
I don't even remember that at all.
That was like the
what
big
is Bring Back Our Girls?
It was the Boko Haram or whatever, the terrorist group in Nigeria.
Oh, the huge.
That was
yeah.
like the big thing, and everyone was so
like,
mad about
so
that.
So what
and
happened the, to them now?
And then somebody something happened.
I thought they got released.
Back. I think they did get back.
Yeah,
they just got back, released. And then I heard something where like now like 20 other girls got. Got abducted.
Yeah.
Hey, can we, Nigeria, can we kind of put that on lockdown right now? Like, guys, you're kind of fucking up. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you know we gotta, let's protect the girls over there.
Yeah. That's can you worry about Ebola and take care of the girls too? Can you do two things?
Because they had like Sean Penn holding up a sign like,
yeah.
Bring back our girls.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
work, Sean.
Yeah, thanks
nice
for
work.
Your help.
You know, when he gets involved, it becomes aggressively annoying.
And I think Nigeria's president had some weird name like Feel Good or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was some like ridiculous name.
Yeah, because a lot of people in that part of the world, it's like a Native American name where it's just right. like about a thing. Like Native American names are like, you know, Running Wolf or whatever.
Right,
and over there, it's like, it's like good mood. I'm Johnny Good Mood. I'm Johnny Happy a Lot. I'm the president of Nigeria.
I'm Johnny Happy a Lot. How are you? You don't
they
know.
Just take fucking words. Yeah, Boko Haram, not to be confused with Procol Harum, who is the singer of Whiter Shade of Pale, which is a famous song. That's
what are the odds on that, having a name that sounds just like a terrorist
Procol
group?
Harum?
Yeah.
This is a song. Yeah. This is from Boko Haram, the kidnapper of our girls.
This is one of those songs I always knew. I remember hearing it, but I never knew who it was by or what
yeah,
it was
yeah.
called.
I think the song is terrible, and I'm in the minority on that among white people.
I think it's terrible, too. It sounds like a dentist's office. Like, it sounds like I should be getting a root canal right now.
It sounds like a fucking Stetson cologne commercial. Like there's a guy on a dusty trail on a horse in a cowboy hat, and he gets off and brushes the dust off him, and a woman comes and sucks his dick.
All in the commercial.
All in the commercial.
This song, this video right here, 28 million hits.
Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is the song, though?
From the 70s.
Well, it's because of Bring Back Our Girls. That's what got everyone to the site.
A Whiter Shade of Pale is the name of the song.
That's terrible.
It's not a bad song. I like the drum line.
It always sounds like a commercial to me. It
sounds like a queef. sounds like if a queef was a song.
1967? Is that
Jesus.
What
this song? Actually, I like the song now. I've never heard it.
I always thought it was like Moody Blues. It sounds like something they would have done. Ooh, I like them. But it's that kind of weird sound. I don't know.
It is, yeah.
Procol Harum. Like, after this, you know, after his career fizzled, he started kidnapping girls.
Moved to Nigeria.
Bring back our girls, Procol Harum.
And his name's Procol Lovejoy.
Procol. Procol Steel Girl. Procol Girl Thief. So what's been going on, fellas? Anything besides, well, you know, whatever's in the news, but I mean, personally, anything big in New York?
No, nothing in New York. I mean, it's just same old, same old. It's good. I like it. It's a lot different. I'm glad to be back. We were talking about this last night. The grind in New York is tough. Every comic knows this. Even if you've never been there, you know that, you know, there's a lot of open mics.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of time.
And they're all shit, I heard, too.
A lot of shit. Yeah. I mean, there's some. I mean, but it does help you edit, you know, because when something works there, it's, you know, they still laugh at good jokes. There's still that gut punch reaction.
Right.
It's almost like, you know, the reflex. Like, if they laugh at that, it's like, all right, they really didn't want to laugh.
Yeah.
So
right.
if they laughed, then that's good. But it is nice to come back. Like me and Annie were talking about last night, it's nice to come back every once in a while and just be reminded that, oh, that's right, I know
how
to do comedy.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, comedy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And it's fun to come back. And this weekend's been great. I'm at the Draft House, which is why I'm in town. So.
Do you feel like there's nothing you can't do because the big lights will inspire you?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
In New York.
The big lights.
The Empire State of Mind.
It's so weird. Somebody said this, that, or maybe it, I don't know where I heard this, but Times Square is the thing in New York. The bright lights of Times Square is that one thing that amazes everyone who doesn't live in New York when they go to visit, and it's your least favorite thing when you live there.
Yeah.
Because it's such a fucking... You realize it's just a shitty square. Like, there's...
It's an amusement
a shit
park.
Ton of people. Yeah, and it's like overpriced stuff. People just trying to take your money with garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, a bunch of giant stores packed with people with shit from Disney or M&M's or whatever.
Yeah.
Garbage you don't need.
Right.
Me and my girl, we go there every once in a while just because there's a movie theater there. Every time, like, I mean, the last time I had to, like, there was one of the big dudes with the suits, like, they dress like Spider-Man or Cookie Monster. I had to high-five Cookie Monster just to get him out of our way because he held his hand right in my face. I was like, all right, and now I probably
he thought you were a tourist.
Yeah, he thought, I was just like, fuck you, man, I live here.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, now you high-five, you owe me, like, $3 now.
Yeah.
Like this.
He took a quick picture of that, and then, you know, I had to buy that.
Because they'll do that. They'll, like, the guy who dresses like Bumblebee or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you go take your picture with him. But then he'll say, like, hey, I would appreciate, like, $5 for this.
Yeah.
Like, they sort of, they
It'd
don't really.
Nice.
Yeah, they'll take the picture, but they're like, I kind of, look, I got nothing else going for me. I'm Bumblebee in fucking Times Square right now. There's not even a Transformers, really, a themed thing around here. I'm just fucking Bumblebee.
Everyone's hustling in New York. Like, The panhandling is obviously at another level.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Like, the most jarring thing to me was when I moved there. And I've been to New York before, but I'd never heard, like, the panhandling. And every panhandler, what they'll do is, the ones who get on the subway, they all start off the same. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Yep. And then they go into their thing. And it's the same tone. And they're all the same. And it's whatever sob story they have. But I just think it's funny that, like, aren't you guys, like, coordinating? Like, have a different approach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's like a script.
But the first time...
Yeah. I forget, because when I visit New York, I'll forget, and then as soon as I hit the subway, somebody will get on my, oh, shit, I forgot about this.
The first time I heard it, I thought we were being robbed. Like, it sounded like a movie, like in a movie where they're like, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, get your hands on
like
the floor.
Like Pulp Fiction.
Something shit like that, where they'll start firing
in
the air.
It's a robbery!
They fucking move! So I'm clutching my wallet the first time. I don't know what's happening.
Because they'll do that, they'll do the spiel, and they'll always, always tell you, I'm not like the others.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Guys, like, this is, I hate to do this. I'm not one of those deadbeats, but we got to have uniforms for our little league soccer team or whatever their cause is. So I have these M&Ms that I stole. You want them for $1 each? And they'll, like, they'll try to sell you some shit or just beg. They'll just say, like, I got one hand with only two fingers on it. That was one, when I was there, there was a guy, he had one hand with, like, two fingers on it. And to me, that should be explained in the spiel.
Yeah.
He didn't touch it. He had one hand with two fingers.
You got to open with that.
Yeah,
man.
You got to bring that up.
And open, close, something. Oh, by the way, I only have two fingers.
Yeah. By the way, my life sucks. I have two fingers. Now will you give me money? And, oh, sure. Okay.
By the way, I'm from Mars, obviously. I was in Total Recall. Do you remember me?
Yeah, I have a lobster claw.
I had one movie role.
My wife has three titties.
She has more tits than I have fingers.
She did. They did. Oh, he was the one feeling over that third.
But this guy, he was just a typical spiel. Like,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to make my way in this world. You know, one of those things. He might as well have been quoting Empire State of Mind. Like, big lights are inspiring me. I just need some help. I coach basketball. I help these kids out. He was all about how
everything.
He coached basketball. And not once did he mention the two fingers on his hand. And that's all anyone wants to know the story about. I should be a consultant for those dudes. Like, you got to open with the two finger thing.
Yeah.
And then go away from it in the middle and then come back. Like, by the way, also, if you didn't hear earlier, I only got two fingers on my right hand. And that's my shooting hand, guys.
Yeah.
It's hard to coach people on how to shoot properly when you don't have enough fingers to do it yourself.
None of them can shoot because they all look at the way I do and it's fucked up.
It's probably a shitty coach too, because they're like, why didn't he say anything about his hand?
He never says anything about his hand.
He never talks about his hand. So I'd like to demonstrate a three-pointer.
You gotta have
a good shooting form.
We're gonna work on a drill here for
get up here, Jimmy.
Partial hand-eye coordination is very important in the sport of basketball.
Put your hand and fingers up.
Normally, when I want you to call this play, I'd have you hold up four fingers. But we can't do that in my system.
Just do two twice.
Do two twice. Do two, put up two one way, and then turn them around.
And he makes everyone do that even though they have five. He's like, no, you have to know
two
my
fingers.
Know my experience.
All his plays involve three or more fingers. He still hasn't figured out. All right, here's a pick and roll. You got a two. It's five fingers, but you do it the hard way. You got 2-2-1. You got to do a 2-2-1 on the fingers, and that means high screen and roll. All right, you got it. It's gonna take 4 seconds just to call the play. We only got 24 seconds.
Hey, coach, can your wife coach from now on? Yeah, coach, she has all five fingers.
Yeah, could you just like all hold up fingers. A sign or something? Could you get one of the other players on the team to call the plays for you, coach? Then we had a guy too when I lived there. Guitar. Yeah, he had the guitar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dreadlocks. Didn't look homeless. I mean, he seemed to be dressed fairly well. Or dressed like a guy who has a closet that the clothes are kept in when he's not wearing them. Always would play Redemption Song by Bob Marley. Like a sped up version, because you got to do it between stops.
Right? Yeah, so real fast.
You got to finish so people can like throw the money in before they get off.
Right.
But this was like fucking 3 years of that. Like he would get on. And he wouldn't even, like, he was jaded. He wouldn't even get on and say, ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention? He would just get on and just
start playing.
Playing the song. And then people were like, oh, what's going on? Oh, fuck, put my headphones in. And then you would see him, like, 3 weeks later. Same. Like, dude, learn the news. Aren't you sick of this?
Right.
Yeah.
The guys that I love are the guys who dance. And they do, like, they're, like, really good. And it's entertaining. But what they'll do is they'll kind of go, like, they'll do, like, flips on like the poles and shit.
Yeah, I've seen them now.
Yeah, and like it's funny because like they'll almost kick people in the face, just some old lady clutching her purse.
Yeah,
and like they never hit anybody. But my favorite part about that is I remember one time me and Courtney were riding the subway, and I was like, where do those guys practice?
Yeah,
like where do they? And then what happened was one time I was on there, they do their thing, and then they just start after they're like, thank you guys, and then they just started practicing. It'd be like if Patton Oswalt did a show, and then he's like, all right, thank you. All right, now I'm going to do some new shit. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
Or something like that. So it was kind of weird that they're just like fucking rehearse.
Yeah.
Where else are they going to do it?
You don't want to break down the fourth wall.
Right.
Like you should get on another train. You should go out at like 3 a.m. to rehearse.
Yeah.
There's no one on the train.
When there's no one there.
But when it's prime time, you don't want them to see you practicing.
Yeah.
Like open micing it up there. Like what else?
So does he have a list? Is he flipping with a list?
He's got a list out. What the fuck?
So,
I'm just gonna try out some new flips. Just came up with this one.
I don't think I ever told this story, but the sign flippers.
Okay.
They've been around for years, and I never wondered how they practice. I mean, it's a sign. You can practice that just about anywhere.
Yeah.
But I was playing ball. This is when I lived in Arlington. And I was playing ball. We used to play at this outside court. And one night I was out there. I don't know why I did this, but I stayed out just shooting around. It was dark, or it got dark. So then the lights went off. I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to go now.
Yeah.
Then I saw like a huge group of sign flippers going.
A bunch of them?
A bunch of them.
Like a boot camp?
What? Going, yeah. And they were all, I don't know what they were doing. I didn't stick around.
That's
maybe I should
hilarious.
Have. But they were all going like, where the park was, there was like a area, like a lower area, and they were going down this hill. I was like, "What the? Are they having battles? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Battle? They're LARPing.
Yeah.
There's like
what
a,
is this
there's
shit?
Like a sign flipper battle?
Yeah. I had forgotten all about it, but that's what you reminded me of that with the flipper.
I know they train. Like, you have to take a training if you become a sign flipper.
Really?
They have to train you. Yeah. Someone told me that. Like, you have to take a little class.
Oh, so there's you just started doing it.
There's actually something worse than just sign flipping. It's training.
Training sign flippers.
Flip.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't that many out there, probably. Because those guys do have some intricate shit.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be able to do that, like, on first attempt. I would be dropping the sign. I've never seen those dudes drop the sign.
No. Yeah. Never.
They're good.
It'd be like a windy day. I'd be flying into traffic.
You're dressed like the Statue of Liberty, whatever the fuck they dress like.
I've seen those Liberty. You talking about Liberty Tax?
Yeah.
I've seen them everywhere, and there's always somebody standing out there when it's freezing cold with that stupid ass Statue of Liberty outfit on.
They're everywhere. He's too dumb to work inside.
Yeah,
they always. It's like when you see a construction site and everyone's working hard, but the, there's one guy who just holds the stop.
Holds the sign. Stop.
Stop, yeah. Slow sign.
Slow sign.
Like, wait, dude, don't touch any equipment.
Hey.
Fucking look, go over there.
See these people here waiting in this line? Tell them to slow.
Right.
The other people, they'll see the other side of it. It says stop. It says stop.
Okay. Can you handle that much?
Can you handle it?
Can you handle it? We don't want you anywhere near a nail gun.
Let a few people in and then flip the sign around. Okay.
Count to 10. Can you count to 10? Count to 10.
One,
count
two,
as high as you can count.
Okay. 7.
And then turn the sign. But only turn it halfway. Don't turn it 100%. Because then you'll have the same situation.
I turned it all the way around and just people just kept coming from
okay,
this
boss.
And they always put the dumbest looking guy on that job.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm stereotyping. They always look like they're dumb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, have you ever seen a dumb guy who looks smart? That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I see a lot of people that don't know they're dumb.
That's true.
I've seen quite a bit of that. But
get on the sign. All right, boss.
All right, sweet.
1, 2.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. This is where it gets hazy.
3. Stop honking. I'm just,
oh, shit.
What'd I do after 4, boss? Turn the goddamn sign. All right. Oh, shit. I forgot the sign. I don't even have the sign with me, boss.
Yeah. You wouldn't put a guy that's a genius on the nail gun on that job. You want him on the nail gun.
Right.
You want him doing the cement.
Measuring shit.
Yeah. You
lining
want that
shit
guy
up.
Yeah.
You don't want a fucking dunce using that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the guy can barely handle the sign.
You want an idiot
flipping,
doing that.
Right. You don't want him on, like, working a level.
That's
sure
the
level.
Actually, that's the next thing for the sign flipper. Like, he's fired after that. If he can't do the sign flipping, yeah, then he's out of there. Like, because they've put him in other places.
Yeah, he worked his way down the sign flipper.
Yeah,
there was a previous sign flipper who was worse at the job.
Yeah,
this guy came in is like riding in on his white horse. Like, let me show you how it's done, man.
Yeah,
count to 9. I can count to 9. Fuck that dude.
So what else is going on this week? Anything big? Any shows coming up?
Not for me.
No?
Mike Eltraham's at the Draft House this weekend.
Go back in time and go to my show tonight at 10 o'clock at the Arlington Draft House.
With Michelle Wolf.
Yeah, very funny. Simone, the host.
Simone hosting.
Simone
hilarious.
Shiva.
Doing a great job.
Yeah. Simone. Who,
doing a great job of sleeping with everybody without sleeping with them.
Simone's biggest strength in life is introducing people to people.
Yeah, he's amazing at it.
You got it. He just he's like, hey, have you met so and so? I'm like, no. How did you meet this person? You just met this. All he does when he meets people is just
introduce,
make
them.
Sure everyone
he's the chief
knows
of staff,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Yes, he's
got a clipboard. Yeah. Okay, now smile at this person. This
he's
person
the,
writes.
He's the
out
glue.
This
do you two know each other?
Yeah.
I think he lives for that. Do you know? You don't?
Yeah.
Let me introduce you.
Tim, have you met Kurt? Here's Kurt.
I haven't met Kurt at all.
Kurt,
I don't
come
need
with
to,
me.
I don't. I never need to talk to Kurt. Well, just introduce yourself.
Nice to meet you, Kurt.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt. How are you?
Speaking of introductions, I had a weird thing happen. I was at an open mic, and a friend of ours, Sarah Armour, she put me in an uncomfortable spot. We're standing at the back of the open mic. This is a couple weeks ago. And some comic comes up, and it was one of those, you know, all comics are there. And she talks to him, and she's, you know, she seems like she knows him. And then she just leans over to me and says, hey, when that guy walks past you, introduce yourself. Pretend like you met him somewhere and find out his name. And I was like, what?
Classic Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and that's exactly what it was. But she was literally saying like, oh, no. Just don't just introduce, like she didn't say this, but it was like, don't just introduce yourself. Pretend you know him. Hey, Mike, remember? Like,
oh, no, you don't do that.
Yeah,
that's not how
like,
you do it.
Why would you? Why would she?
No, that's not, she's wrong. That's not how you do it.
And I just thought it was funny. She's like letting me serve as the crash
she
test dummy
him.
For this introduction. Right.
All
right.
All you have to do is you walk up to him because you just met him too, right?
I didn't even meet him. I was just standing there. Me and Sarah were just standing there in the back there. I'm like,
and
the fuck is that guy?
So she hasn't taken the Simone class on introduction.
No, not at all.
Exactly. Simone needs to train her.
You summon Simone. He just walks in like, Sarah, have you met Eric?
Do you know? Oh, okay. Well,
we need an introduction.
Have you seen his face when he tries to introduce you and you already know that person?
Right.
He's so disappointed.
Yeah.
So upset about that. You okay. All right.
He loses the boner he had from.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess nobody needs me anymore. Huh?
Simone, that's my sister.
Yeah.
I grew up with her.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, can you point to me to some people who don't know her?
Who don't you know in here?
Who don't you know? You will soon.
This is a family reunion. What are you doing here?
Here's what you do if Sarah doesn't know the person and she wants, you don't have to walk up and act like you know the guy.
Right.
You say, hey, I don't think I got your name. I'm Mike. What's your name again? Yeah. Done. Yeah. That's all you do.
He ended up, if you walked by me, I missed him and I ended up leaving pretty soon after that.
I think
it.
When it's two dudes who don't know each other, maybe it's different if it's a woman and a man dynamic. But all you do is just walk, hey, what's your name again? I didn't get your name. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm Mike. Yeah, good meeting.
Well, because
yeah.
if it's a woman, she might think I'm like trying to like hit on her. Right. Especially, you know.
Or if Sarah wants to get that guy's name, she can't walk up and say, what's your name again, after she just had a whole long fucking chit chat.
Exactly.
Like,
no, I understood where she was.
Why would you
from.
Ask? I don't get why you wouldn't ask in the conversation. I don't see what's rude about not remembering somebody.
It's not. It's awkward.
I never have a problem not telling people that I don't remember. I'm sorry, right. man. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, who are? What's this?
What's your name again? I won't say it like that, but you know, just I would rather not have the Three's Company episode of
hey, who's that person? Of
I thought
that,
you knew. I thought you knew.
I talked to him for 25 minutes. What happened?
Yeah,
his name is Mr. Furley.
He's been living here for 3 years. He's our landlord.
The worst is when you're at an open. Like, I had this happen. It hasn't happened in a while, but it happened when I was still in D.C. I was at the Draft House, and this comic comes up to me, and he's like, Mike Yeltringham, how you doing, man? Long time no see. I was like, yeah, how you doing? We had a five-minute conversation. Still don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I did know him at some point, I'm sure, because he knew enough about me.
Right.
But he never said his name, and I don't know. I don't know who the fuck the guy is. And he looked like the stereotypical
comic.
White open micer, like he was just there's like a million, yeah. Like he was just
white this. Guy with Jordans,
yeah,
and glasses.
Yeah, it was just so weird.
And notebook in hand.
Yep.
Couple days growth of facial hair, but he probably shaves. He doesn't let it get too.
He shaves when he has like a job interview,
right?
Yeah. Like for his temp agency or whatever he does. But
doesn't bathe every day.
Usually,
little,
but not every day.
A little musty here and there. A little.
Just a little bit. He's going to get a burrito later.
Coming off.
He's getting a burrito later.
Yeah, he's getting a burrito after the show.
Speaking of bathing, one of the things I noticed about New York, and this is only a couple places, that D.C. Trumps New York, and this is that there's a couple open mics where it's just like the comics just fucking, there's just like so much B.O.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I
never noticed that in D.C. But like,
where was that usually?
I don't want to.
Well, you know,
it's not like it matters. It's not like the place stinks.
This is
it's
what
just
I,
the people.
It's just like it's a small room. It's a creak in the cave. They have a little small room in the basement.
Yeah, yeah,
so when you get people packed in and it gets a little warm, and then like, man, there's just it's not like that place draws bad smelling. It was just one time or a few times I was there where there was a bunch of comics in an enclosed space, and I'm just like, and at one comic called out, he's like, there's like four people with horrible BO in here because it is fucking so bad. And I'm just like, why the fuck? That makes me so mad. Like, I know a lot of comics have, like, trouble, like, whether it's, like, you know, they...
I know what it is.
Getting a day job or whatever, anything like that.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
But, like, fucking put some deodorant on.
Well,
that's
you know
not
what,
that
too?
Hard.
It's I don't even know if it's necessarily the BO. They might have showered and then put on dirty clothes.
Yeah, that maybe that's it.
Because you put on that old flannel that's been sitting in a pile on the floor that you wore...
That I have a little
five
more
times last
for.
Month.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, or the, like, you know, that's the other thing, because you got to go to a fucking laundromat.
Yeah.
Like, you say, ah, fuck it, I'll just wear this again.
Yeah.
Or you have a coat. Because people don't, how often do you wash your coat?
I never do. Yeah. I don't think I've ever washed my coat.
My coat is dry clean, which, you know, it's a quote Mitch Hedberg, which means it's dirty.
Right.
But you don't even smell it anymore, because it's your coat.
Yeah.
You don't,
you
know
don't smell yourself.
Like.
My least two favorite things that comics do is have prevalent BO, and the other thing is not stealing, but asking for other comics' food.
Yeah.
That is like my least favorite thing.
That was going to be the name of my album, You Can't Eat French Fries Around Comics. Anytime I have a French fry, anytime I had fries when I first started,
my God.
Everybody. And there are certain people I would like hide them as they're walking by.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be the guy that's like, no, you can't have any French fries.
And I get what that's from. What happens is a lot of comics, you know, are poor. Yeah, like, and I get that.
Starving.
And starving. And like, okay, I get that. But at the same time, I'm like, we're adults.
Yeah.
Most of us are adults. Every once in a while, there's like one or two fucking 14-year-old wunderkinds who come in.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, for the most part, you're adults. So I'm like, fucking treat me like an adult. Don't steal my food.
Yeah.
You know, like, or don't try to take my food. One guy would like put his hand right by the fries and just be like, can I have one?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you fucking tainted it with your
Ebola.
Just take it.
I would just tell people no. I would just be like, no. I'm a grown-up.
They're... They're over there.
Yeah, there's plenty of food.
Somebody will get them for you.
The kitchen is still open last time I checked.
How much are fries?
They can't be more than like $5.
A few bucks.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's like, oh, I didn't want a whole order. I just wanted like two fries. Who wants just two?
Yeah.
You always want the whole order. No one wants a couple fries.
Yeah. You just saw something here and you're like, let me see how friendly I am with them.
It's like the white guy or white woman touching the black man's afro.
Yeah.
It's like their hand is already on the way to it as they ask.
As they're doing, right. Yeah.
Can I touch that?
There's no way that even if you said no, there's no way they'd be able to stop.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Momentum will carry it.
Yeah.
As leaning they reach forward. For the fry. Can I go ahead and take one of these fries? It's already in my hand now. So I'm
you've
go ahead.
Essentially touched it.
Can I go ahead? I'm just going to lick my finger and touch all your food. Is that cool?
I don't know why that's such a big thing. I mean, I do know why with comics, but I don't get that in other parts of sometimes if I'm out with a girl, she'll be like, oh, that looks pretty, you know, the girl thing where they're like, that looks pretty good, which is code for I want to try it.
Give me it.
She usually just says, can I try
how
something?
How is it?
She just asks me, she's like, can I try something? I'm like, yeah, that's different.
Of course.
But like, you know, then she's
well,
like,
the
you
test
want some
is,
of mine?
Yeah, the test is this idiot no? I still don't get that, the, oh, this is delicious. Would you like when they offer you theirs?
It's
which
code.
Means the same thing. Like, give me your food.
Yep. Yeah. Which is fine, but I just don't get why it only seems to happen to me with comics where they're like, hey man, can I get one of your fries?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, go fuck yourself.
No,
man.
Just one?
We're not
you only
friends.
Want one of my fries. And then you say, no, you're the asshole.
Yeah. You look like an idiot.
Or you
have a
like
job.
It. You like, feel like it kind of like, I could have gave him a fucking fry. Yeah,
I've never felt bad, ever.
I do feel bad, man.
One dude came up to me, it was like, and he's kind of, I won't say his name, he was kind of obnoxious. I'll say it after the podcast. And I had these chicken wings I got from Whole Foods.
Why not say it on the book?
I don't know.
Initials?
CB.
CB, Chris Brown?
You're close. You're halfway there.
Sorry. I know who you're talking about.
Well, I know who it is.
Moved away? Moved away?
Yes, yes.
Lives out west now?
Maybe.
Okay.
No, he's a good dude. But that's like my code for I don't like this guy. Just, he's a good dude. So
yeah, that's me too. Do you want the truth or do you want me
so
to?
One time he was just like, hey, could I get a wing? And I'm like, oh yeah. Like I was
what?
Like, I was like laughing because I had like chicken wings. And I was
what?
Like, and they just kept saying, there's like, no, I'm serious. I was like, so was I.
Yeah,
like,
dog.
No. Get the hell. Get your hand out of here before I get aggressive.
A wing?
A whole wing.
I'll offer, you know what? If
a
I'm
fry,
eating,
I can understand.
Yeah, but how many wings were there? Now, this is a pivotal question here. How many wings were there?
Oh, man. 8 to 10, maybe?
One order, basically.
An order.
8 to 10 is borderline.
No.
Borderline? How big were they?
I don't care if there was 35.
I think,
They're all mine.
I think eight is
I worked
a definite,
for that wing.
Definite no. If he wants one of your 8 wings, no chance.
Him asking, no. You don't ask for 8 wings. Or you don't ask
if he has 10
for
wings,
a wing.
There might be a wing left at the end.
Right.
But he has to wait.
You got to wait.
I have a staunch no wing giving policy. I don't care if there's 100. I don't care if there's 3.
I have a no wing giving policy with the caveat of, like you said, when I'm done. Yeah. Or like the...
That's, well, I guess
if I'm eating in a group... First of all, I don't like eating around people. And that's why I don't like eating around people, actually, is because they'll fucking ask me for my food.
Yeah.
They're sitting there starting a conversation like, dog, I'm eating. Go away. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to listen to you. I just want to fucking eat my food and think about my jokes.
That's interesting you say that, because I know some people, there's a stigma attached to eating alone, but I like eating alone at restaurants.
I love eating alone.
My buddy, Graham Hall, friend of mine and all of ours, he one time I told him...
He's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
He actually is a good guy.
No, he's cool.
Oh, GH?
He's a good friend.
GH? Yeah.
GH.
He's all right.
GC, Graham Corridor. So one time I remember I told him I used to go and eat. Yeah, real funny. So I used to go out and eat or go to Starbucks and I'd write. And I told him one time I was like, I went to McDonald's and just sat there and wrote. And he's like, you went by yourself? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, Jesus Christ. And I was like, what? He just thought it was like the saddest thing.
Really?
And I was just like, I didn't care. And I'm just sitting there.
What's
shit.
McDonald's? I mean, who doesn't? I would rather go to McDonald's alone. I don't want to be
there.
No
one.
People.
I don't want witnesses to that.
Right. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad as it is.
Recently, I've noticed this the other day. I've never had a McDonald's. I haven't had a McDonald's meal that I've been like, huh? That was pretty. I'm glad I did that.
No.
After
either.
It's never a good feeling.
It's never.
Before I'm
ever
excited.
A good feeling. I know what the fuck is that. Before I'm excited, and then
during
after,
I like it.
You know what it is?
During I kind of like
it's
it.
It's like jerking off.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Because as soon as you're done, you're like, ah. Oh,
immediately, you're like, I'm a terrible
person. The porn
person.
Is still going. Like, it's right. still going, and you're looking at it like, I jerked. That's what got me.
Somebody had a bit about that where they were like, I can't remember who it was, but they were like, you're never more horrified by porn than right after you come.
Right after, yeah.
Because you're like, oh, what do I, like, who am I? Who is this person who enjoys this?
And they're still having fun. It's like, are you done? They can't stop.
Yeah, they can't stop when you stop.
They can't stop when
you stop. How weird would that be if, like, as soon as there's a money shot, they all just stand and look at you and like, all right, you can stop the video.
He's done, everybody. That's what porn should be now. If they can't sell DVDs anymore, they should just make money off doing, like, just straight live streaming porn.
Yeah.
And it's just they see you, yeah. they watch you.
Yeah. Well, they
just watch you.
It's like, it's like corresponding.
They do.
Them.
That is a big thing. The webcam thing is a big thing.
Like
now.
As soon as your computer's microphone hears you go, ugh.
Yeah. Like, all right.
It just sounds pauses like, the porn.
Sounds like he's done, everybody.
And you're like, no, I cleared my throat.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry. Okay. All right. Yeah. So where are we at, doggy?
Who clears their throat while they're jerking off?
Yeah.
You fucking wait it out.
What a weirdo.
You wait it out.
Yeah. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I do hear that. What is
okay.
that?
Okay. It's probably power cord right there.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
going against the audio cable.
We're recording from the beautiful Westin. Arlington Gateway.
We're in Mike's room.
Mike's hotel room. Speaking of porn stars, we have a story that
that involves one of my favorite porn stars.
Yeah, this is one of those
Alexis Texas.
No,
I don't like her. Oh, I do like her.
Randolph likes her, doesn't he? I can't. I thought
she's good. She just doesn't have sex with brothers, so I can't imagine myself inside her.
The porn star in question is named Lisa Ann.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know who she is, I think she might be on a mainstream level famous because she was the Sarah Palin in those Nailin' Palin,
yeah.
Back when she became a vice president.
Classic
candidate.
Porn.
So she's 42 years old.
Right.
Which is it's hilarious that porn stars are the only actresses who don't lie about their age.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're all like, I'm 45, I'm 42.
Because they just moved to the new category.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You want them to be that age.
Right, right.
You're like, that's even better if she's 42.
They just moved the target.
So she, at 42, is apparently dating a Notre Dame football player.
Oh, there it is. I was looking for the story.
Named Justin Brent, who I don't know college football well enough. I don't know if he's a star.
Right.
What started as a fun-loving trip to New York to a New York Knicks preseason game at Madison Square Garden apparently has reached greater heights for 42-year-old porn star Lisa Ann and Notre Dame freshman wide receiver Justin Brent, 18.
Jeez.
Oh, good for him.
The dynamic duo made quite the social splash with their trip to the world's most famous arena on Wednesday night. So they got photographed, like, basically courtside at the Knicks game.
Right.
Then on Friday, Deadspin posted a selfie that a tipster provided the site showing Lisa Ann and Brent in bed. And they're, like, laying there in bed taking the old post-sex selfie.
Yeah.
So I would assume everyone thinks this is great, right?
Right.
Like there's nothing to criticize about that.
Not Mommy really. And daddy might have an issue. His girlfriend might be upset about it.
His girlfriend. I mean, is this unless she's his girlfriend?
Does he have a girlfriend?
I don't think so. I was just saying it to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, would you make a porn star your girlfriend? Could you handle like the movies, the videos?
I don't think it's a matter of handling. I think it's a matter of just like
she's working. If she's like, "Oh, I got to go to work." And you're like, "Oh, you're going to go fuck three dudes?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I would not date a porn star.
If you're 18,
I would date a porn star, but I wouldn't consider anything further.
It wouldn't be a long term.
No, if she was a cool person,
I'd just have fun with her.
Yeah,
you just have fun with her, and then
too much fun though.
Because you figure you got to be accepting of the fact that there's like eight more dudes every week fucking her,
right?
In much better shape than you.
Yeah, and then a giant dick. But on the flip side, you could line up a lot of like threesomes and shit. Whatever you have as a fantasy, she's probably completely open to that.
Yeah.
So you trade off. You just have your fun with her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we know someone who did a porn. And wasn't she dating like a 20-year-old at the time?
She was, yeah.
Yeah, like,
And still is.
It might still be.
I think so.
Might still be. So, you know, I mean
good guy.
He was aware that she did that. He's a good guy.
You know, I was gonna
Yeah, I got no
problem. Actually don't know.
Yeah, I met him a little bit.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He is a good guy.
I met him once, he was nice.
But you know when I do that?
Really know.
When I do that is when somebody says if somebody's funny. Or if somebody asks me if somebody's funny, I'm like,
he's nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's pretty. Nice guy. He's fun. I see what he's doing.
Yeah.
I've never said one of my friends who I actually think is funny, I've never said, yeah, they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, I've never actually said that.
I usually do. If I think they're funny, I'll say they're funny. If not, then I'll be like, eh, he's, you know, he's up there.
He's all right.
He's doing his thing. Right.
Unless he's not a nice guy, then you just fucking both barrels on that dude. Like, he's not funny and he's a dick.
Yeah.
Fuck that dude.
Yeah. He's not funny enough to be, I'll say that, like, he's not funny enough to be a piece of shit like he is.
Right. Right. This guy, Darren Rovell, tweeted about the porn star.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. What a dick.
He tweeted Notre Dame's sexual activity code of conduct. First of all, what does that even mean? It's a college where you're a star football player. There's no code of conduct. You do whatever the fuck you want.
Who is Darren Rovell?
I think he's like a sports writer or something.
So what he reports on, he's very obnoxious. He's big into sports business, and he talks about like marketing and brand recognition. Oh. He talks about like LeBron James's brand and all shit like that,
right,
which is fine in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a market to analyze that, you know, is interesting.
Yeah.
But he's so obnoxious, mm-hmm, and just the way he reports on, he's just terrible. So like there's a whole class of sports fans who just can't stand him. And this is a great example of why.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to point that out. Also, if Notre Dame has a problem with this kid dating a porn star, they're going to tell him about it.
This right. is a college. All right. Notre Dame is a college where adults go to school. All right. This is the code of sexual activity for adult people.
Oh, he's a black kid.
Yeah. He's black. Yeah.
There we
I thought
go.
He was a white guy.
The
okay.
Black thickens.
Justin Brent.
Does she fuck black dudes on camera?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
I'm sure
so
she does.
I was about to say, like, that would be fucked up if she only did it in a
Hey, Palin did Glenn Rice, so she has
that's
to.
That's true.
Right? She's one of my favorites. She's always looked. She's 42, but she looks.
Every bit of that?
She looks. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Here's a sexual activity code of conduct. The university embraces the Catholic Church's teaching that a genuine and complete expression of love through sex requires a commitment to a total living and sharing together of two persons in marriage. Consequently, students who engage in sexual union outside of marriage may be subject to referral to the university conduct process. And Dan Rovell tweets that with the message, Notre Dame's football player Justin Brent went on a date with a porn star. Here's Notre Dame's sex section and code of conduct. Why the fuck is he putting that guy out there like that?
Yeah, what does that accomplish? That's not news.
Yeah. How good is this kid? Is he a big star? Is he?
I've never heard of him. He might be good, but I don't follow college that closely.
He's probably going to be looked at now.
Yeah.
I would think.
Well, if he's not a star, imagine how all the star players feel. Like, I could have gotten that.
Right.
Yeah. I could have gotten Lisa Ann.
You'd think Darren Rovell would recognize the fact that this is a genius marketing move for this kid because now we know who he is.
Yeah. Right.
Before, you don't know. Most freshmen aren't that good.
No.
Or aren't that prevalent. So
now
he's trending.
I want to know how he... That'd be interesting
how'd
to me.
How'd that happen?
How did he meet her?
I bet it was Tinder.
Maybe.
No, there's no way she's on Tinder.
She might be on Tinder.
Maybe.
I mean, why not?
Well, what else is there? Like, social network besides...
Well, you got the
Facebook.
All the,
you got Facebook.
Yeah, you got the Facebook. I mean,
maybe
probably,
you know what? I think she probably hit him up.
She might have. She's probably on Twitter,
Instagram, definitely.
She is on Instagram, yeah.
Right? So that's probably
that's
what
how
is.
James Franco got caught up on Instagram, right?
With the young girls,
yeah.
Right?
With he hit the girl up, or she hit him up on Instagram,
and then she
caught up. What do you mean? What'd she do?
You didn't hear about that?
No, I don't know. That
oh
story.
Man, it was crazy. It looked almost fake.
Was it a young girl? Like
she
a little
was 17.
Girl?
Well, she was 17, but in New York, that's the age of consent.
Right.
But she's from like Scotland, so she went to see his play.
Wait a minute, I may have her.
Yeah,
this.
It was a couple weeks ago or months ago. So she went to see his play, and she posted a quick video on Instagram.
Right.
He was signing autographs, and it's a video of him being like, hit me up on Instagram. And then
right.
she posted the chat log, which is kind of like,
well, why
kinda narking
do that?
Him out.
Yeah.
And he's just like, basically, he just goes right into, how old are you? Come to my hotel. Like, there's
yeah.
no,
let's do this.
No
let's...
artistry to it.
Right.
Obviously, a celebrity who just is like, you don't want to fuck me? All right. All right next
well,
person.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. and then she posts that. I thought it was fake because he was doing a movie where he played a teacher who had sex. I still think it's fake.
It may be fake.
Who had sex with an underage student.
Right.
So I think it was just a publicity thing. But mm-hmm. who knows? I mean, he apologized for it, and he never came off the fact that it was legit.
Yeah, and what the fucking apology? What is he sorry for?
That I mean,
that she put that shit out there.
What I don't like is when people attacked him and were like, "Oh well, he was trying to commit rape." It's like, well, first of all, no, he wasn't, because that's not the age. The age of consent is 17.
Oh, statutory rape.
Right.
What rape?
Statutory.
Statutory.
Yeah,
rape.
Yeah.
But
statutory.
What bothers me about that is like, well, if you think it's inappropriate, that's fine. But
yeah.
It's not illegal.
No,
I'm not saying that, you know, I would do it, but yeah. I mean, it's not illegal.
Well, the question usually
maybe
is...
maybe amoral or immoral.
Yeah. It's usually like, when do you turn 18? Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's your birthday?
I've known guys that would keep young girls around. This is when I was younger, though. Or I've heard stories about... They just have a young girl. They're in their 20s and 30s, and they'll be talking to... When she get about 18, it's going to be on, though. So they just kind of keep them around a little bit.
Pull up at the high school at about 3:45 in the afternoon.
Like, yeah.
Like Wooderson and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Just hang out.
There were dudes at my high school that did that shit.
Like, right.
Didn't he graduate/drop out about 3 years ago? Yeah, I think he did. I think my freshman year yearbook, he was in it as one of the upperclassmen. But then James Franco should know better, too. You can't just ask a girl.
That's stupid. He was being an idiot. Yeah.
He was being, yeah, and that's why she did that. If he would have been more like what she thought he was going to be,
yeah,
like debonair, and so I'm going to be, why don't we have coffee tomorrow? And then she'd fuck him after the coffee.
There's nothing a woman will punish you more for. Than bad game.
Yeah.
And that's why
they
you see
hate that shit.
And actually I tried to write a joke about it and it became too like preachy or whatever, because I'm really bothered by it. I really don't like this new trend of like Tumblrs and websites where women post guys having bad game.
Yeah.
And in some cases, like, the guys are just like really just
horrible.
Like, oh, come suck my dick. But sometimes they're just like,
so wait a minute, what are they posting? Are they posting? Oh, they're posting like the of the guys.
And sometimes,
text.
Sometimes the guys are idiots, but a lot of times the guys are trying to be clever.
Yeah,
they're sometimes like the guy has he writes too much, but he's clearly trying to be clever.
Right.
And it's like, look, just because the guy failed, he's trying. I mean, you don't have to go out with him. Just block him.
Yeah.
Why do you have to? And the joke I had was, it's like going on a job interview and having it just bombing it, and then they're like, "Oh, could you tell us who you're going to interview with next? We want to call them up and tell you, you know,
yeah,
you're going to fuck
how shitty
up
you are."
Yeah.
So it's like, why are you ruining?
We recorded
the guy's chances.
This. What? Yeah, we recorded this.
Right, right, exactly. So I'm like,
bad interviews.
Also, like online dating, like, allow people a chance to fuck up a little bit. It's one thing if you're like. Let people fuck up.
Online dating is basically, I mean, it's practice in dating without actually, but you still have to do the, I've been doing online dating for like 3 years, 4 years. Dog, you still have to do like everything that you'd have to do in a relationship.
Yeah.
You still have to meet the person.
Yeah.
You still have to build that rapport. It's just the way you met them. That's the only difference, really.
What do you do? Match.com?
I do a joke about it. I do everything.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't. I could say that I've been probably on every site at some point, but now I'm only doing Tinder and OkCupid, and I only do Tinder. I don't do OkCupid anymore.
Tinder is
Tinder just seems
really convenient.
Though. Yeah, isn't it just hookups?
No,
people go on dates from Tinder.
Yeah, Tinder. It depends on
what they want.
Well, you can't just have a hookup site with women on it.
That's true.
That's impossible.
Yeah, because then they'll put
if
that message like,
game,
I'm not looking to just hook up.
That's every single one of them have that message. And not all of them, but a lot of them start out with that.
Yeah.
If they have a kid on there, they say, my child is my world. If they, first thing they do is, or my friends told me to sign up, so I'm just signing up. Or they'll put, it's very strange how Tinder, some of the women on there are, they'll have, like, pictures on there, and then they give you a chance to say something about yourself, and they say nothing.
Yeah.
So all you have to go on is the pictures.
Yeah.
And that's not ideal, but at the same time, it lets you know, okay, well, she clearly is a little bit, like, either embarrassed or she's not trying too hard.
Right.
So she doesn't, so if she gets, she's doing the, what's it called? The she's denying it herself.
There
she's
are
the
like,
first right the first refusal. Basically.
There are people who their job is like online dating consultant.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, to help people out.
I was talking to someone who met a woman as her job,
Wow.
And they tell you, like, if you're a woman, don't put negative shit in
about
your description. Don't say, like, first thing you say is, if you're this kind of guy, move on.
Dog, you know? I used to do a joke about so many women would have shit in there like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you know about them.
Yeah, it's like, geez, I feel like I already dated you.
Right.
I feel like we've been in a relationship, and I've done all of that shit.
But women don't understand the psychology of that.
Yeah.
When a man reads it, the first thing he knows about you is that you're saying, fuck you if you're this.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what if I'm not going to get involved with you, because what if there's something else you hate, and I'm that? So you just fucking swipe left.
Who was this girl, and where?
I'll tell you about
it. And she helps women.
I think she helps mostly women, but it was a comic had met her.
That is hilarious. And, that's a job. I
was talking to her a little bit about that.
Right.
And then he thought he had an in with her. And she gave him the old half hug.
Oh, she gave him one arm.
Not looking to hook.
Oh, you're going to. Oh, thanks for walking me all the way back to my apartment late at night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I think she said, I'm going to leave you out here.
Wow.
She did?
Yes.
That is some cold shit.
I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I was texting with this dude.
Oh, that's funny.
Will you tell us off air?
He thought he had an in.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. Oh, okay. I'll tell you off air. But I think that's what I'm going to pull up the quote. But it was something like that.
It's so funny. Like, we always think we have an in. And when it works, it works. But when it doesn't work, like, you hear stories about that all the time. I think that's the new thing now. Like, women. Most female comics have a joke about guys hitting on them.
Well, yeah.
But that's their life. I mean, that's part of their life.
Yeah, we talked about it on last week's podcast, all the catcall jokes.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, that's fine.
People think I'm attractive.
So this guy said something to me, and I didn't like it. So.
Did you see the video Nick Mullen sent it to Kurt Metzger, and
I've seen those videos.
It is hilarious.
There's a whole genre of videos.
What is it?
It's a woman goes up to this crazy. He's a bum, right?
This is what she does. She has a lot of these videos.
Yeah.
This is genre of videos, like a subgenre of women who film themselves confronting catcallers. So they're just walking down the street, probably expecting it, like construction sites and shit. And so they like turn on their phone, start recording.
Yeah.
And then a guy will be like, Hey, let me put my dick in you. Or I don't know what they say. Let me.
Are they called catcall videos?
I
want to
be something.
I'm looking them up right now.
I want to put part of me in part of you and whatever. And so they go back, you know, I don't really like what you said. And then the guys try to defend themselves like, yeah, but I'm just paying you a compliment. You're a beautiful woman. You know, and then they have these 5 or 10 minute conversations that the woman then posts on YouTube.
Right.
So that one that Nick Mullen posted, it was clearly like a crazy homeless dude. Like he didn't
give a shit about your.
No.
Your feminist perspective.
She's like, I'm fighting the patriarchy. No, it's this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, that's not a valid.
But he still wants to fuck, too. Like, don't get it twisted.
That's the last thing that goes.
Yeah.
I was talking to Adam Freeland about that, another comic, former DC guy in New York. I was talking to him about that, and he's like, why don't you just, like, make him a sandwich or, like, make him some food? Like, he's he's a bum. Like,
she doesn't know that. And I don't think she cares.
He starts rapping.
Her argument is men are yelling shit at me, and I don't like it. So any man, no matter how crazy or absent-minded.
I'm going to shine the spotlight back on him, and he's a homeless dude. He literally starts freestyle rapping with a toothbrush in his hand. Why does he have a toothbrush? Where'd he get it?
Where'd you get that toothbrush?
And she's just like, she's
Nobody
trying to talk logic to this dude, and he's like,
that's funny.
He's like, give me a beat. He just starts rapping.
give me a beat.
So this is the comic that he was texting me last week. I bet I know who this is. He met up with this girl. All right, and at a bar, and he made her laugh scotch out of her nose. Like, he was doing well. That's what he said. And then he said, we were just walking up, and then she stopped the progress to the front door and said, I'm going to leave you here.
Wow.
Wow.
And then she went inside. He walked her home at like 2:30 in the morning because it was late.
So was it a date, or was it they just...
They had been talking all week. It was a let's meet up after my show.
Okay.
And then he set it up.
And leading up to that, the meetup, it was like, okay, I'm leaving at this time. I should be in D.C. at this time. What? Where are you? You know, and like, oh, I'm here at this bar. I should be here. I'm going to go over here. Meet me over here. It was like they had plans.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they met up and things were going well. And it was like, all right, here we are at your front door. And I'm going to leave you here.
I'll tell you what. That is a...
Bye.
It's cold, but it's civil and... professional way to do that.
I guess so. Yeah.
I don't think that's a she. It's not just mean.
It just sucks.
It sucks for that.
It does suck. But what was it? Was it like I'm going to leave you here
as
to
in,
test you?
You're not going any further. Than this.
Or it was, I'm going to leave you here.
This is where we part ways. That's what it was. It was a send off. And honestly, I've heard much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been
literally
a lot
heard
worse.
What if she would
have
myself.
Like if she would have patted him on the top of the head or something.
Oh, yeah, condescending. Yeah, like, I think that's a case where she had clearly made obviously she made up her mind that
early
she didn't,
on.
She didn't want it to go. So she was like thinking, okay, how do I end this? And it came out a little probably harsher sounding maybe than she thought.
I'd rather that though.
I would too. At least she's honest.
Yeah, I'm going to leave you out here. Not like, you know, I don't like you and bye.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna leave you out here. Like, let's.
Well, I think the mistake
for the trash man to come pick up.
Yeah,
the mistake that maybe a lot of women make
is some other broad to come get you.
When you're texting with the girl, I mean, you've already talked to her several times over the course of you know the week or whatever it is, right. And then now you're like the whole night you're at your show, like, oh, where are you gonna be? I should be leaving, and then you mm-hmm. just have this all these back and forth. Let's figure out a way to meet up. I should be there by like 12:30. You're still gonna be there. All this stuff,
right?
And she thinks, oh, he just wants to have a drink with me.
Right.
And she legitimately thinks.
She actually thinks, oh, he's really going. And he's like, I'm putting in a lot of effort to get this going tonight.
Right.
And really, she's just like, oh, isn't that great? He wants to have a drink.
Mm-hmm. Or that's what she plays up.
Right.
I think women are more.
She knows,
they
probably.
They know more than we think. It's like, oh, I'm tricking her. It's like, no, she's playing. I think women play like. Maybe they don't play like they're being tricked.
Purposely
but
naive.
They kind of just go, I like this guy, so I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna either let him do it or not let him do it.
Yeah, they know the tricks.
Yeah, they know
the tricks and it's if you can pull it off, it's like a magician.
Right.
It's like everyone knows David Copperfield isn't really doing that shit. But you pull it off and you clap for it anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just, if a guy pulls off, you know, a good bit of game, the woman will be like, all right, well I know he's That was pretty cool what he did.
I'll clap for him.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll give him some applause.
Women are soft.
Hug. I'll give him the old like Christian side hug.
Yeah.
Just a okay, thanks. Thanks for all that. I'll be in touch.
Really respect when women are just flat out harshly honest about that kind of thing. There the one time I went out with this girl and we had a date and it was fine. It was just a date.
Right.
And then I texted her like, oh, you know, waited 2 or 3 days. I was like, hey, you got anything going on this week?
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote me back. She just said, look, thanks for the drinks. Don't think it's going to work out. And I was just like,
yeah, I like that.
I literally was just like, all right.
And then
cool. I deleted her number.
And then you went to the website where men post women shit about women.
And oh, there's not
one.
Right.
Oh, there's not one. All right.
No, there's no way we'd be. Because
if there
we
was
wouldn't
one,
be able to do that,
then Jezebel would explode.
Yeah, but that's why. I mean, that's how the society works. Like we're supposed to go and approach. As Patrice said, I got to come get you.
Right.
I got to go get you. Yeah. I can't sit there looking blinking slow, and you come to me.
Interesting.
I got to go get you.
Interesting. You bring that up.
That's how it works.
And Jezebel gets brought up because former Jezebel writer Lindy West had either a blog post or article, whatever, in some other outlet,
right,
where she essentially described two cases where she was sitting at a coffee shop and she saw two older men, not like necessarily old, but like, you know, maybe 40s or 50s, come up to like young 20-ish women and talk to them. And in both cases, the women were not really interested, but kind of humored them.
Right.
And Lindy West had like this whole screed about, we're not... You know, you're not entitled to our time. Don't come up and be creepy. And it's like, what the? Just tell them to go away.
Creepy, man. That word.
It's just like
creepy
everything
is a catch-all for I don't want to fuck you. So what you're doing is creepy.
Right.
A guy could do the same thing. That's what I don't like about that kind of thing. A guy can do the same thing. A guy who a woman doesn't want to fuck can do the same thing as a guy she does want to fuck. And because she wants to fuck him, that other guy's creepy.
Yeah.
So it's really you're the one projecting.
Right.
And, you know, guys can be creepy. That shit happens all the time.
I've felt creepy sometimes.
But
sometimes...
Every guy does, I feel like.
I do a joke about that now where I'm like, Doug, you think about, like, you have to know what creepy is.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, throw creepy out all the time. Because men are insecure about how creepy they are.
Yeah.
Like, I think about how... I think about how creepy I am to women and how scary I am to white people all the time.
Creepy is to men what ugly or fat is to women.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, it's the same.
If a woman calls me creepy, I'm like, what did I do?
I've had women tell me.
What did I do that was creepy? Like, you like did this, called, this, and this.
That's like being called a racist.
Yeah.
For a white dude.
For a white dude.
Yes. What
did I do that was racist?
I've had women tell me they don't think I'm very good looking. Or they, one girl literally came up to me at a bar and called me ugly, which, whatever. Damn. But I was just
out of nowhere?
She was trying to be cute. She was like, you look ugly but interesting. And then she talked to me.
What the fuck?
Wow. Yeah, she was trying to be clever.
She was trying to get you to holler at her. You hadn't done it yet.
She was doing what guys do. She was trying to think of a good opening line. And she gave me her number, whatever. But this is years ago.
She put you in her phone as ugly but interesting.
Ugly but interesting guy.
UBI.
Interesting.
No, you know what's funny? She may have put him in her phone as the cute guy from that bar.
Right.
From whatever bar.
But that doesn't, even if it was legit.
Wait, listen, what do you say back to that? Because I'm married. I don't give a shit. So
I was single at the time.
I would come back to her with a shot. I would say, well, you don't look interesting. Yeah, I would say something to, what do you say?
I said something, I can't remember my exact words, but I said something the effect of like, you need to think of like better lines. I addressed the fact that it was
a horrible
bullshit
line.
So I basically removed the veil of her trying to be like a dude who's hitting on a woman. Yeah. I was like, no.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I was like, and then we talked and she was fine. Like, she was cool. We had a nice little conversation. But even if a girl did actually call me ugly, I've been called not good looking before and it never bothers me. I'm just like, all right, it's not my fault.
Because you know you don't need to be good looking.
Right, exactly. Women. So you really don't. It's like probably the fourth or fifth most important thing.
Yeah. My whole point of view.
But
on
if
that
somebody
too
called
is,
me creepy, I would be.
I'd be like, I feel hurt. What did I do?
Exactly.
You're creeper.
Was I leaning forward too much?
This is a news story.
Body language is huge.
This is one of the women. This might be the woman from that one video that confronts catcallers. This is a news story from a couple months ago. She's in Minnesota. It was like she has made like national news
only
doing this.
Seen on TV.
You talking to me?
Oh, we got a live one, boys.
Like on Sex and the City. But now one Minneapolis woman is pouncing back.
And how does she look?
Which one?
And getting a little catty with her so-called street caller, all caught on camera.
Obviously, I just love you. Just a compliment, sweetheart. That's all you are.
I know you mean it as a compliment, but I don't take it as one.
Women are acculturated to just say, well, I don't like it and it makes me feel unsafe, but I'm not going to say anything because that's just how it is.
Cards Against?
28-year-old Lindsay, who'd like to keep her last name private, created the website Cards Against Harassment last fall. Posting cards for people to hand out to those who comment on their appearance in public.
I'm going to give you a card.
With sayings like,
someone simply walking, jogging, biking in your line of sight isn't an invitation for you to comment on how they look. Next time, just say hello.
Lindsay says most of her catcall encounters happen on her daily commute to work to a downtown office building.
Are you dressed the way you are?
I'm dressed for work.
Getting hit on by Megatron?
These are my professional clothes.
But 2 weeks ago, after she says she experienced so many of these interactions, she secretly started filming the men she gave her cards to. And the videos went viral.
I normally have a clutch and my phone, and so I just set my iPhone to be filming video.
We've blurred the faces and changed the voices of the men who Lindsay claims.
So they all sound like
harassment.
Spain.
Look, bitch, I love that dress you're wearing.
That's a lovely dress.
That's a lovely dress you're wearing.
And she falls into the trap too. I've watched some of these videos before. This thing that women do, like, what? I'm not even dressed for to be cute right now. I'm going to work. I'm just coming from the gym.
Which is an equivalent of this old thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's another form
it's like,
of that.
I wasn't even trying to look hot right now. And then they don't understand. Guys will still find you attractive if you're wearing your work clothes or your workout clothes. It doesn't really matter.
You think I look beautiful.
It irks you that it goes on without any real attempt to curtail it. If women don't feel like they can use public spaces with the same safety that most men walk through the world feeling, then that's a problem.
Sometimes
safety is
her confrontations
huge.
Elicit apologies.
If I make you feel comfortable, I'm sorry.
But others?
That voice is hilarious.
You have freedom of speech to holler.
Freedom to holler. Which amendment is that?
Holler.
Holler, 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 holler.
Hey, what are you trying to take away my constitutional rights to holler?
Shit.
You're trying to holler. It's freedom of speech.
It's in the Bill of Rights.
Motherfucker. It's the 69th Amendment, bitch.
You hate freedom or something?
I don't think there's changing hearts and minds, but if they're being annoying to me, I think I'm entitled to be a little annoying back to them.
So Lindsay says she's gotten a number of emails from women's groups in other countries asking her to translate her cards into other languages or cultural experiences.
Oh, she's going to get rich.
So that they can
Hand
out
sure.
their own cards.
That's a good idea.
So guys, I have confronted catcallers before when I was much younger with, you know, some not very nice words. And that's...
Guys, I'm cute too.
I've had plenty of men comment on my looks.
Men find me attractive.
Yeah, they're dangerous. Supposed to comment on your looks.
It's a way of responding.
It's just the way they do it is probably pretty bad.
I actually take it as a compliment now that I'm in my 40s. Like, thank you for saying that.
See, she just said it.
That's what a lot of older women are like. Well, I'm just glad someone notices me anymore.
The worst thing is getting catcalled until no one catcalls you.
Until people stop catcalling you. That's when it gets annoying. He's up there. He's just kind of just smiling.
It's generational.
I just want to say that you all have great tits. We'll be right back.
I agree with the principle that, like, dudes, you know, it's
just get better.
It is lame to do that. Like, it's how many dudes have ever, no one is, I guarantee, has ever gotten laid off going like, hey, nice dress.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it's lazy. It's not a good game. And, like, it does make women feel uncomfortable. You shouldn't make women feel uncomfortable, but I don't think it's like some epidemic.
Yeah, when it goes into...
It's one thing when it's like at night in a bad part of town, but if it's just like in the middle of the ditch...
Well, I think if it happens all the time...
If it happens all the time,
it probably annoys
them,
the shit out
tired of
it.
Yeah. So, but when it goes into like... because what's happening now is if a guy tries to hit on a woman, his approach is being attacked now.
Yeah.
And, and it's like, well... Get better at approaching, like, well, he has to fucking practice on you. The woman that when he gets good at it, you're his practice.
So many parts of...
Until he gets good at it.
Of catcalling and like, stuff Lindy West was saying about, like, oh, don't come up and... You're not entitled to our time. So much of that, I feel like, is just women... It's like you said, criticizing, really, the approach.
Right.
Because if I come up to
the approach
a girl...
It is huge, though.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Because I've seen it, and I'm like, dude... Can you not? Don't, like, I've been with guys that have done that, like, thing, and I'm like, come on.
It's terrible.
You gotta, you know.
It is, you can tell when a guy's about to bomb hard.
Yeah.
A girl. Like, like, he walks up and you can just see the body language.
Yeah.
His hands on her back way too soon.
Yeah, like, already, and she's like, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what is
who
that?
Are you?
Yeah, who the fuck
like,
are you?
No, chill out, relax. He gets rapey. Like,
relax,
dog,
baby.
You got rapey.
Relax, just stay quiet.
Just chill,
stay
chill.
Calm.
What's the deal? What's going on?
What's
relax.
Your name? I said, what's your name?
That's like the worst opening line, too, is what's your name? It's like a fucking job interview.
Yeah.
The worst rejection I ever got at a bar, I was at a bar, and I go up to a girl, and it was a stupid line. It's corny. I just said, hey, I was going to wear that same thing tonight. Like, stupid.
That is funny.
Stupid line. I mean, it's played out. She looks at me, and she's like, somebody just said that to me 20 minutes ago. And I was going to try to recover. And I start to say, oh, well, they're stealing my material or something. Mm. And she just cuts me. I was like, good job, and turns right around.
Oh, sheesh. No.
And I was like, all right, well. Whatever.
Yeah. And you got to deal with that. Yeah. And you got to deal with their rejection, man. You just got to let it roll off. But sometimes that shit is not easy.
It isn't. Yeah. It's tough.
Easy.
To make yourself into, like, you almost have to be like a Terminator.
Yeah.
To like just be a robot where you're like, all right,
yeah,
I guess
okay,
I'll just
all right,
take this assault
on
my manhood.
First of all, you have to see, okay, who saw that, number one.
Right.
How many other bitches
saw that? How many other
saw
bitches
that?
Saw that? Because I'm going to go talk to the nearest one out of that range that didn't see me.
How many other bitches in here I can ask if they wore it? I can talk to it. And then you just walk away doing the Incredible Hulk.
I think the best way to approach women is really to say something that's just innocuous and not hitting.
Yeah.
It's just starting the conversation.
The way the first thing I said to my girl, well, not the first thing, I had talked to her before, but the way I asked my girl out now that I'm dating, that out on a date, I literally just was like, hey, we were at an open mic, and I was like, do you know the best way to get to 395?
Like,
me?
You legitimately needed to know.
Yeah, and she starts telling me, and I was like, look, I don't really, I know. I just wanted to ask you.
Oh,
out.
I thought you did.
No, no,
right,
I did.
I thought
right. No,
did.
I just said that. I was like, look, let me stop you right there before you give me detailed
before
instructions.
Because she knew exactly where to go, and she was giving
she
you,
was,
like...
She, and she's a sweetheart, so
you probably
like,
took. You probably took her advice, too. Like, I didn't know about that street.
Holy
yeah, you
shit.
Can just go down this way and then go.
This is, like, cut, like, 10 minutes off my commute. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But it was just something... it was, like, innocent, nothing to do with...
Right.
And then I legitimately asked her
and
out, and she was
told
like,
her.
All right.
Yeah, and you told her the truth, though.
Like, and she tells, you lied to me?
And she still tells stories about that. She'll still be like, remember when you asked me where 395 was?
Yeah.
So she remembered it. You know what I mean? So it was a cute little thing.
Right. Do you remember last night when we were having sex? Like, it worked. Like, I'm glad I know where 395
was. Look, I would never ask a woman for directions. Come on. You should have seen right through that. But what are you doing next Friday?
So nice tits, by the way. What's
your name? I was going to wear that. Oh, shit. I used the wrong line on you.
Yeah. No lines. Lines. I mean,
they have their place.
They do. It's corny. They have to be super corny, though.
Yeah.
But it's just go up and talk.
My favorite one I saw, this is one of those like blogs that had a bunch of bad lines. My favorite one was the guy says, do you have pet insurance?
Oh, no.
And she says, no, and he's like, "Well, you better get it because I'm gonna smash your pussy." That cracked me up. It would never work.
Of course not.
I mean,
it depends on the kind of woman. Yeah.
If the guy is a super good-looking dude,
yeah,
and
yeah.
he's like charming about it,
Eric Patrick could probably
Eric
pull that.
Patrick
off.
Could, yeah, absolutely.
Where is Eric Patrick from?
He's in heaven because he's a blue-eyed
real
angel.
World
look at the guy.
Fame.
Where is Eric?
He's blue eyes or green eyes?
Green eyes.
Whatever.
Is he in L.A.?
Is he back in L.A.?
No, I saw him. He was in New York a couple weeks ago when Ryan Connor was doing his recording for his CD. We saw him there, me and Courtney.
Yeah.
And I think he was going, I want to say he was going back to...
Dominican again?
Yeah, I think that's where he was going. Because he was like over in Africa for a while. I mean, he's just like going all over. That dude's living, he should write a fucking book, man.
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
He's like a pretty girl. They just get to see the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been to L.A., New York... MTV.
Yeah, like, he was on The Real World.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What was he doing? So he was doing construction in Dominican Republic, right?
Something like that.
When
something
he
like
got done with Real World.
And then he went back.
He went back
for
to
a, it was
going to
be a year, and then he was going to go to L.A., but then he only went to L.A. for a little while. He's always, I don't know, he doesn't post much on Facebook.
Not anymore, no.
He seems like he's just always on the move, and I respect people like that who are like, he's like trying to do a different thing. I think he was doing, like, he was kind of doing like a, like almost a hybrid, and I could be fucking this up, but he was like more like freestyling than doing like comedy. Like he would rap a little bit, which is cool. Like people who do different, artistic endeavors.
He's just walking up to women all over the world with bad pickup lines.
Like, he could.
That dress would look good on my bedroom floor. I should know I have the same dress and I almost wore it tonight. He's combining shit.
That
was horrible. Take me home now.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and leave you. No, I'm not going to leave you here. Let's go.
Let's go upstairs.
I'm going to leave you in my bed.
We got to wrap up. We're hour 12 on this podcast.
Yeah.
We didn't get to anything. We were going to watch.
We're trying to help these guys out there.
Watch Cliven Bundy's friend video.
Something for Thursday.
We
didn't
get to that. Something for Thursday.
Yeah.
We got a couple other things. We got crying, maybe the newest workout trend. That's a good one. And who knows? We'll get to some other things. Thursday, we also will not have Randolph. He's still, just look at his Instagram. He's just eating brunch in New York.
For every meal.
Every meal.
Every meal.
Just brunch.
Eating brunch and buying hats. That's so far, anyway. And so he'll be back next week to tell us all about that. We have some emails from listeners, which we'll either get to Thursday or maybe wait till Monday, because I think some of them reference... here's one from Ashanti. We'll read her email. Ashanti was at the Pentagon. Remember they had the Ebola scare at the Pentagon?
Yeah.
Someone puked in the parking lot. That's all it was. It was not
Didn't
a scare.
Didn't they puke in a bus? They were on a bus.
So. I thought it was on a bus.
Ashanti says, hey, Randolph, Andy, and maybe, parentheses, not Tim.
Sheesh.
In reference to the Ebola scare at the Pentagon last Friday, I figured you'd like to see this. As I walk out of my office that afternoon, I see the custodian kitted out like Walter White cleaning up vomit from the men's bathroom. And she took a picture. Not only did she take a picture, everyone else in the picture is taking a picture. This dude is a janitor.
Oh my God.
In a full hazmat suit.
He is.
Cleaning up vomit. Someone puked at the Pentagon bathroom. A Pentagon bathroom.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
That guy doesn't get paid enough for that shit.
No.
All he has to do is go in there and sprinkle that vomit dust.
Yeah, that sawdust all over it.
That smells worse than vomit.
Does it really?
No, I don't. I think I just always smelled it with vomit around.
That would suck. You're a janitor. You got to put on a full hazmat suit, gas mask, and then everyone who walks by is taking your picture. Like, look at this fucking idiot. Look at this guy.
Look here. Now, y'all can go here with them cameras and put the shit out.
You know that people puke for reasons other than Ebola, right?
Ebola? Like,
yeah.
People puke before that? Ebola. Yeah. You know that, right?
Hey, look, Earl has a hazmat suit on today, guys. Let's take Earl's picture.
look here, man, y'all ain't going to be taking all these goddamn pictures of me now without no money or something. You're just going to slide a little money in that little tray over there.
Go ahead and smile, Earl.
You know it's an old black dude that's doing the cleaning.
Some old black dude.
It's an old black dude. He's,
no one's ever even acknowledged him at the Pentagon.
Jasper.
Jasper. Some old name that no one has anymore.
Yeah.
Armstead.
Jesus Christ.
Armstead.
Hey, Armstead.
How you doing, Mr. I'm Armstead Jenkins. I've been cleaning toilets for 27 years.
Never he's, worn one damn hazmat suit.
He's so old that he calls people Mr. and then their first name.
Yeah. Mr. Brent, how you doing?
That's how old he is.
Mr. Tanner. What's going on, Mr. Tanner? Well, see, I used to have a friend named Tanner. Mr. Tanner. His name was Mr. Tanner, too. 17, 20 years ago.
Hey, somewhere. Mr. Charlie. How you doing, Mr. Charlie? We'll be back on Thursday. Anything, any social media to plug? Mike Eltringham?
Yeah, I'd like to plug. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mike_Eltringham, and there's a project I'm working on, really excited about. It's called The Adam and Mike Show. It's a sketch series with my buddy Adam Dodd. Check us out, adamandmikeshow.com. We debuted November 25th. We're really pumped about it. Right now, we just got some promos up, but check it out. Follow us on Facebook, too, and check that out. Adamandmikeshow.com, yeah.
And what about Comedy Jocks?
Yeah, podcast? And sorry. I'm got
are
too
you guys
much
still doing that?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. You and Courtney, right?
Courtney's kind of like, he's like the Tim of our podcast. Like he's, oh, yeah. He has to like drop out.
Kind of.
Not to, you know.
He cares, but he, but yeah. He, you know.
But he doesn't have a daughter.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of.
He just doesn't care.
So you and Pete.
He doesn't have a good reason. Yeah, it's me and Pete. We'll have guests from, you know, around New York and different comics for who, and we like to have people on who like different like teams or different areas. So it's kind of we'll talk about Philly sports 1 week, Chicago, different stuff. Okay. So it's kind of cool. So comedyjocks.wordpress.com. Check that out. We did not spring for the website yet, but
that's
we're gonna,
cool. That's
we're gonna get on that.
GoDaddy, $9. No big deal.
True.
I got no shows coming up. You got any shows coming up? I got nothing.
No, I have, let me see, what is it? Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing.
Chilling out. I'm going to a show. I'm going to see Jermaine film his special.
When is that? Late November?
November 1st.
Oh, that's coming up. We should get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's at the Improv next weekend with Courtney.
Jermaine Fowler.
Yeah,
he's recording.
Yeah, he's recording.
Oh, is that where
that's when he's recording?
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah. All right, so come back next week, or Thursday, actually, and we'll be back, the three of us, without Randolph. And that's it. I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Tim Miller.
And I'm Randolph Terrence.
We've been three guys on, sort of, and we are out.